Banger of a show coming up here today. I've returned from vacation, refreshed, reinvigorated, revitalized. So we're going to talk about some players who need their reputations revitalized in 2024 and whether we believe that it's actually going to happen. We talk Cliff Kingsbury and some players on the Washington offense. We talk Daniel Jones. Can he get back on track as a fantasy quarterback? And Diontae Johnson, Chris Godwin, can these receivers that seemingly no one wants to draft actually have great seasons this year? All that and more coming up with Andy Behrens today. Let's get into it. It's Tuesday, May 21st. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is Andy Behrens. Andy, what's going on, buddy?
It is a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry that you missed what everyone knows that I regard as the most important week in the NFL calendar, schedule release week. Sorry you couldn't be here for that. It was a pageant in your absence. We really did it up.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a great show that you and Dalton put together. I did not listen to it. I will never listen to it. I will never. And that's not a hey, I didn't host that show, okay? And this is my podcast feed. I'm not whatever. No, nothing to do with that. I'm sure it was a wonderful show. I'm sure it was a banger of a pod. My entire podcast feed, Andy, was filled with schedule release podcasts, and I listened to zero of them. But I'm sure that yours was the best.
No, any show that begins with one of the hosts absolutely trashing the basis for the show it's got to be a winner, and that's what we had on our hands.
Oh well, again, I'm sure it was a banger of a show, but hey, it's good to be back, and we got a fun show for you guys today. For my first one back from vacation, by the way, wonderful time off. People should take vacation more. Well, this vacation thing, Andy, that people have been telling me about was really good, was really great. It's kind of hard to be back here this week. We met, my wife and I, while we were in Puerto Rico. We took a salsa dancing class. We met another couple there from Europe, Juri and Hanna. And freaking Juri, I mean, shout out to him. He's telling me about, like, oh yeah, we came from the Dominican Republic. Now we're here in Puerto Rico, and when we get back, I'm on holiday after that. And I'm like, geez, God almighty, well, how do I get on that program? What the hell are we doing here in America? I'm sure people are going to flood me with comments about what we're doing here in America and why it's bad and all that. But yeah, no, terrible stuff. Oh, Juri's taking a vacation after his vacation. What the hell? How come I'm not on that plan?
Man, that is truly how it's done. Unfortunately, I don't think, like, just relocating to Europe is enough. I think you're still bound to the American hours. So I don't think there's any easy out for you.
Well, let me be super clear. I'm not relocating to Europe either. I'm done with moving for a minute. Okay. So we'll happily be here in these great United States and love it. By the way, loving my job. It is great to be back. It's great to be back on the show. It's great to be back doing all the work. So loving it. And we got a great show here planned for you today because I have theoretically, I'm back and I'm revitalized, feeling refreshed from vacation, reinvigorated, rebooted, all the rewords. Okay. Theoretically, that's how I feel coming off vacation. Not regretful that I'm not still on vacation. We're going to discuss some NFL figures who need their resume refreshed and rebooted in 2024. I say figures, Andy, because I have one coach on my list, and yes, of course, this will be a secret list podcast because Andy Behrens is here. So again, Andy, you and I are going to kind of go back and forth on candidates who need that refreshing after maybe a down season last year. You know, people could just call this rebound candidates or bounce back candidates. Boring, not exciting. Refreshed resumes is much more interesting. So that's what we're going to do here, Andy. We're going to decide if each other's candidates are actually going to do it. I have some guys that I'm not even sure I believe that they're going to have that bounce back, but let's get it started here. Andy, give me your first player, figure, whatever, who needs refreshing this season.
I'm gonna start with a friend and occasional coworker of yours. Let's start with Austin Eckler. He's one of a handful of players on my list who actually, by the way, this is a really fun subject to come up with names for, because, like, I rattled off, I don't know, five or six really quickly. And then I came up with a long list of honorable mentions that we can go through. Dishonorable mentions. I don't even know what to call them. So there's a lot of guys that fit into this category. And I felt that Eckler was one who not only gets the real life, you know, refresh of an actual relocation from his former team. Maybe he needed it. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But man, does he fit the sort of description that we're looking for, I think, in this particular show, because he's coming off a year in which, you know, what do we want from Austin Eckler? The number one thing is we expect, you know, just a boatload of receptions, and he gave us his lowest reception total since 2018 last year, only 6 touchdowns. So we didn't really get that goal to go work. We didn't get the goal line work. It was a dreadful offense for much of the season. He averages just 3.5 yards per carry. But he also, like, he did what is sometimes the worst thing that a player can do in terms of the way they're going to be perceived by the fantasy community, which is, this isn't fair. And also, players shouldn't care how they're perceived by the fantasy community, but he right. played through injury, right? When he came back from the high ankle sprain, he was clearly a compromised version of himself, right? And then as soon as that happens, this is a tale as old as time in fantasy, we start dogging the player. We don't give them enough credit for what they're doing. And what they're doing, by the way, is, you know, enormously valuable to their real life team. And, you know, coaches always talk about availability and all that. And so this is a big thing in reality. But in fantasy, he's far less explosive. You know, we're not seeing breakaway plays. We're not seeing the same sort of, like, you know, jittery, shifty Austin Eckler that we might be accustomed to. So, you know, people turn on him pretty quickly, right? And I just think, you know, it's good for him to get a restart. I don't know that he's actually in the best spot for it, though, because, again, if we think back to, like, you know, what do the best years of Austin Eckler look like, set aside the touchdowns, we're talking about a guy who can catch 65, 75 passes. Like, is that going to be there with Jaden Daniels as his quarterback? Can he get a slice of the goal to go work alongside Brian Robinson, a guy who's pretty good at it? I don't know. There's some open questions here. I think it's nice that he's with a new team. I don't know that it's the perfect situation. Like, so often what we see with a, you know, with great running quarterbacks, and Daniels is one of those, you know, they're not looking to check it down, right? They're not looking at the first sign of trouble. They're not looking for their running back for a dump off. They're looking to take it on their own. So I don't know that huge reception total is here, and that kind of closes a door to fantasy value.
Right. This is funny that you have Eckler, because my one coach that was on my list was Cliff Kingsbury. So we can just kind of have a Washington conversation here. And I had Kingsbury because
that's a great name. Yeah.
He definitely needs a reputation refresh, right? Because it's funny, you think about, like, any of these guys that were, like, during the era when anybody who was, like, near Sean McVay was getting hired as a head coach or something like that. And by the way, it's gone well for some guys. It has gone not so well for other guys. You know, Cliff Kingsbury was one of these guys who kind of got swept up in that, even though he wasn't really, like, on that staff or whatever. It was kind of an exciting thing. Like, oh, Cliff Kingsbury, this, you know, college offensive coordinator, this air raid guy, he's going to come to Arizona and, like, beef up this offense under Kyler Murray. And it was really never... It just wasn't even really like by the end of the Arizona tenure, it wasn't even like a fun watch. Honestly, even during some of the good moments, it wasn't a very exciting watch. It was like, why aren't we pushing the ball down the field? People are calling it a horizontal raid from a passing game standpoint, to the point that even, you know, when Cliff Kingsbury was getting floated as an offensive coordinator candidate this cycle, people were like, I don't know. This doesn't really move the needle at all. So he's definitely a guy that needs a refresh. And by the way, it's also funny too, because he hasn't actually been an offensive coordinator since 2012 at Texas A&M. Like, this is almost kind of like a new role for him, right? So I just think he's an interesting person to consider, because I can talk myself into so many different directions with almost all of these players here in Washington. And throwing Jaden Daniels into the mix, I agree, he impacts a lot of players, specifically Eckler, because I could tell myself a story where, like, I think the committee of Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler is probably going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be a nice running back tandem for Washington. But splitting it up for fantasy is difficult, and especially now that we have Jaden Daniels as the quarterback, because I could see if they had taken Drake May at the second overall pick. I could see Eckler catching those 65 balls this year as like a check down option, because the one big question on this entire offense is the offensive line. Have they done enough to even make this an above average offensive line? I could see like, oh, I'm Drake May, I'm in chaos, like, let me check it down to Austin Eckler. That's probably not happening with Jaden Daniels as the quarterback. So I share those concerns. And just again, I think it's worth having like a conversation about this offense, because I could see it going multiple different directions just because of the whole Cliff Kingsbury of it all.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing is it's loaded, right? Like we just needed to plop a competent quarterback in there. And I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a competent quarterback down the road. I think he's going to be occasionally a spectacular quarterback as a rookie. It's so loaded with talent. Offensive line questions aside, we now have like two reliable pieces, at least brand name pieces, in the backfield. Robinson was really good, sort of, you know, the under the hood stats last year look really good for Robinson. He wasn't just like a volume guy. It wasn't just a story of like where he's getting it on the field. Picked up his receiving ability a little bit. And then obviously McLaurin is a great player who's just been dealt a weird hand at quarterback. Jahan Dotson also would have been a candidate for this list a little bit, you know, maybe down the ranks a little bit, but really promising rookie season, obviously, and then a step back last year, but overall a very talented player and a very talented collegiate player. So there's a bunch of talent here that can be unlocked. I don't know. I've told myself like two different stories on Austin Eckler, and I don't know if I can. Like, on the one hand, I do expect, you know, we're not talking about like a 33-year-old player here. By the way, I think he just had a birthday. I think he's recently 29. So happy birthday to Austin, who I'm sure listens faithfully to this podcast. I can tell myself a story about him being, full off season, fully recovered, a lot of distance from the ankle issue, from the leg issue, and he's ready to be as explosive as he's been. And in that case, that Austin Eckler, you know, should walk into 1,100 or 1,200 total yards this season. And he should, you know, even if it's not the usual pass volume, he's still too tempting a target. I would imagine he would finish with like 50 catches and be a really useful fantasy commodity. So I can tell myself that story. And then I can also tell myself the sort of doom and gloom story about how, man, it's going to be a struggle to get to 35 catches if that's just not what Jaden Daniels is inclined to do.
Right. And that's sort of, again, my vibe on this whole team, which is why I threw Cliff Kingsbury out there, because I can tell myself a story like on Terry McLaurin. This is easily the best season of his career. Right. He's going to be the majority first read target getter in an offense that's probably going to have some RPO elements to it. You'd imagine they want to take advantage of Jaden Daniels as a rusher. We've seen that with Michael Pittman, right, with Anthony Richardson and even Gardner Minshew running an RPO heavy offense. Like, the first read player in those type of offenses just gets funneled with targets. Like, I could see McLaurin dominating looks and that going well, because like Jaden Daniels, I have questions about him like long term in the NFL, but I think he's going to be a quality quarterback on his rookie contract. He should, and it's a low bar to clear in terms of Terry McLaurin's best quarterback play of his career. Okay. So it's a very low bar to clear. And I think Jaden Daniels could clear it and skyrocket past that bar. So I could see that happening. Jahan Dotson, like, I'm going to be doing my charting work on Jahan Dotson here pretty shortly, but overall, like, I find it almost impossible to believe, like, let me just put it this way, like, some of the, like, targets per route run, yards per route run stats have him in the, like, rookie year Jalen Reagor or, like, Quentin Johnston bucket, like, get the F out of here, like, he's not that player at all, so, like, I'm willing to kind of excuse all of that. That makes no sense to me that he's that type of player, because on film as a rookie, he was much, much better than that. Even if he's like just a solid number two, which I think is probably where he's at, he should still be much more of a useful player. So I could see him bouncing back. So it's an offense that's very fascinating. And again, I have concerns about the offensive line here. So I'm not sure I buy either of these guys, Eckler or Cliff Kingsbury, as guys that will definitely get that resume refresh. But I can envision that as a potential range of outcome here.
Yeah, I'll just say additionally that I love that Kingsbury was your coach, because I was, once you mentioned that you had a coach on your list, I was, you know, is it Sirianni? Oh, I bet it's Arthur Smith. And it did not even occur to me that it was Kingsbury. But he's the perfect name for this, right? Because reputationally, he just absolutely needs a refresh, because he was just it was a punchline for Arthur Smith at the end, too. But it was a you know, Kingsbury was just like an eye roll and a punchline by the end in Arizona.
Yeah, like a boring punchline. That's the thing that really yes. seals Kingsbury's addition here is that, yeah, like Arthur Smith, people got a lot of big feelings about that. You know, Sirianni, people got a lot of big feelings about Sirianni mm-hmm. and how he's how he kind of presents himself like in sort of a what do you who are you type of guy, like what do you even do here type of guy. Are you just the guy that like kind of the what are they, like a front runner type of coach? Are you, but there's just like with Kingsbury, it's just I don't know, I guess that's fine. And so I think he's a guy that needs that reputation refresh. All right, so that was my first one and your first one. Give me your second one.
I'm gonna go with it's occurring to me that I have a number of quarterbacks on this list, and maybe I need to pivot to another name. But I do want to start with this one.
I also have a number of quarterbacks, yeah. So it's fine.
I gotta talk about Daniel Jones.
On my list, numerous names.
Yeah, I don't know what he is at this stage, right? Like, I don't know if he can recapture 2 years ago he took such an interesting route to a pretty good fantasy season, right? He did it without passing touchdowns, like only 15, barely any passing yards. But the guy 2 years ago rushes for over 700 yards, bunch of rushing scores. It ends up being a perfectly nice fantasy season, and we can definitely see the path, and the Giants can see the path, right? They're willing to commit to him at some level, pretty generous level. And now we're coming off a season in which obviously, you know, there's an injury worry that, you know, it's good that he's playing right now, right? Like, it's good that he's part of OTAs, that he's, you know, like he's checking some of those boxes. But man, it's an injury that you have to have a little bit of worry about long term, especially for a player where such a huge slice of his fantasy value is tied to whether or not he's going to run and how successfully he's going to run. So that's one issue. But he's also somebody where, like, I'm not full of doom and gloom, because I really like Malik Nabers. Like, I like some of what happened in the offseason, and he clearly didn't have anything that resembled a number one, like a true number one receiver, somebody that you just, man, I can't. Oh, it's Sunday. We get to feed that guy 12 targets again. That's awesome. You know, they just didn't have one of those guys. And now I think they do. So that's pretty exciting. But also, like, 6 games last year and he gets sacked like 30 times. You can't do that. Nobody can do that. Nobody gets away with it. So I don't know what he is at this stage. I don't know if he can return to sort of that, you know, he really threaded the needle in terms of being able to cobble together some fantasy value in a season in which you weren't very remarkable as a passer a couple years ago. So I don't know if he gets back there, but I'm interested in some of the additions that they've made in the offseason.
Yeah, I thought about Daniel Jones too. For my list, I have him on my like wide list. I'll pivot to somebody else here because I'm with you. I have a decent amount of quarterbacks as well. But Daniel Jones is interesting because, like, this time last year, I was really interested in Daniel Jones as a fantasy quarterback, like a late mm-hmm. round quarterback that had some upside because he had a good fantasy season the year before, as you mentioned, in 22, and like they did refurbish things around Daniel Jones from a pass catcher standpoint, but nothing to the effect of like freaking Malik Nabers, right? Like, so yeah. By the way, it wasn't even crazy to be like, oh yeah, in on Daniel Jones last year. Consensus ADP wise, he was like a top 12 ish type of quarterback. People mm-hmm. were interested in him as that late round dart throw, and then it was just pretty clear from the moment go, like, oh yeah, this is not gonna work out at all, because like I'm not sure, Andy, I've ever seen an NFL game that was more like lopsided than that week one Cowboys Giants Sunday yeah. night football game. And as embarrassing as that was from a protection standpoint, it really never got any better because Andrew Thomas was out. Evan Neal has been like a huge flop so far through his first 2 seasons. They just could not pass protect at all last year. And Daniel Jones is not a guy that's going to, you know, stand and deliver or like really make plays off script. He's just not that type of guy. Like mm-hmm. he has to be kind of a see it, throw it type of quarterback. It can be a lot more opportunities if the offensive line is better this year. You know, they add some players. Obviously, Andrew Thomas is going to be healthy. And now he's going to have like a Malik Nabers, a guy that he can see it and throw it to that player, and it's going to be a lot better for him. And even some of the supporting players, Andy, you're right. They have nobody that like you want to feed volume to. It's like Wandale Robinson is the consummate, like, somebody's got to catch the ball and he's 5 yards downfield. Okay. So he's getting, getting 11 targets, but we're not excited about it.
By the way, I'm sure I wrote exactly that sentence in like pickups of the week a couple times, right? Like that was always the argument for Wandale Robinson.
Exactly. But he's like a quality slot. He's like a fine slot receiver. Jalin Hyatt, you know, he's a potential field stretcher type player, you know. Daniel Bellinger's had some moments at tight end. Like, I don't think this pass catcher core is like completely bereft of options beyond Malik Nabers. So, like, again, Daniel Jones, another guy that I don't know if I believe he's going to have that resume refresh, because like they could get 6 weeks into the season and be like, all right, we've seen enough of Daniel Jones. We don't want to be on the hook for his injury guarantees, which, you know, and they kind of do the Derek Carr thing and they play Drew Lock and then they just try to figure out the quarterback position next year. But if you do believe that Daniel Jones is going to have that bounce back, he's going off the board in best ball drafts at QB 30, which is nothing.
Yeah. But the problem is I can just absolutely see the scenario that you're painting, right? Like number one, re-injury is a real scare. Number two, just not wanting to be on the hook for any more of the Daniel Jones experience is a real concern. Cause, it was, you know, it was bad before, he was no longer available last year. So I don't, you know, this is another one where I can, you know, I can see the path in both directions. But I guess I'd be pretty optimistic because I'm a pretty big Nabers believer. And then they also have, you know, they have some guys. I don't think we mentioned Jalin Hyatt. I don't think you're a Jalin Hyatt guy. I don't know exactly where I stand on him, but he had one of the like signature all time college games. And he did it against Alabama. So I always come back to him. Like a little bit of development from some of their young receivers would go a long way. And that seems like it's out there as well. So I wish they'd done more at running back. I find that offseason really strange, because man, no disrespect to Devin Singletary. I just thought that Devin Singletary would be part of the solution and not the solution. Right. That was a little strange to me because Daniel Jones is certainly a guy who, could use some, you know, cheap and easy layup yards from a running back. And there'll be a little bit of that with Devin Singletary, but it's not, obviously it's a big step back from Saquon.
Did you see the video of Malik Nabers this morning talking about the Giants uniforms, where like these little throwback or alternate uniforms that they've got going?
The Giants alternate uniform is like the flag of Norway or something, right? It's super weird. Yeah.
That was definitely one where I saw like while scrolling a little bit on, you know, by the pool, getting the tan on. I was like, well, I'm glad I don't have to participate in this discourse last week. But Nabers said, Nabers, when asked about it on like a red carpet event or something, he said, it's going to be hard to swag it out. That's all I got to say about it. I mean, look, I know that Giants fans probably hate this, and I'm sure this is super unfair to paint it this way, but I feel like I've seen nothing of Malik Nabers that like, man, I'm happy to be on this team. Like he calls Daniel Jones Janiel Dones in the press conference. He like immediately one practice with the Giants. And again, I know this is unfair. I know that he probably canceled the bet because you can't do this stuff as an NFL player. But you know, him and Jaden Daniels apparently had like a who's going to win offensive rookie of the year, like put $10,000 on it. And like he after one Giants practice, he cancels the bet. Again, I know that's unfair timing, all that type of stuff. But it just feels like it's one thing after another with this. And as a Giants fan, I just have to be like, I would find this so exhausting. I'm not mad at Malik Nabers about it. I would just be so annoyed that like my first round pick, everybody loves this guy as a player, sixth overall in the draft. And like people can't stop like memeing the fact that he's like a little about being a New York Giant. I would hate it.
He's such a delight too. And I'm sure at some point, like agents get to him, the team gets to him and he's no longer this fun. And I hope that's not the case with like Keon Coleman either. But like we have a couple guys in this draft class that are just a great deal more fun than I had anticipated. Like that's the one thing that we don't, you know, you read all the scouting reports and you can watch some films on a guy as a prospect, but you don't like, you just don't know until they get in front of a live mic in a press conference setting, exactly how much fun they're going to be. And there's real potential for Nabers to be a party.
Which again, depending on how this Daniel Jones experience goes this year, what kind of party it's going to be, you know, because definitely this is not a guy that's used to playing with shaky quarterback play. He's making a $10,000 bet with his passer at LSU for a reason, because that guy was really good. So I'm interested to see how this plays out for Malik Nabers and for Daniel Jones. I don't have like a lot of conviction about whether I think, you know, this how it's going to go. But again, if you believe it, he could be like a QB2 type of player in Superflex this year. That is at least interesting. Okay, I'll throw a quarterback out here because Daniel Jones was kind of tangentially on my list. I think Joe Burrow is in contention for this list, and like is a quarterback we all believe is actually good. But I feel like people kind of forget that it did not go well for Burrow last year. At any point, right? Because he starts the year and he's clearly compromised. He's clearly injured. Mm-hmm. You know, just like I'll never forget. I feel like, you know, the Browns week 1 game was just like, I don't know who is wearing number 9 back there for Joe Burrow, but it's not Joe Burrow. Like somebody else has donned the uniform for him. And just from a fantasy, like just a pure cut and dry fantasy perspective, it never really got all that better, right? From a points per game perspective, he's QB 26 last year, 15.3 fantasy points per game for Joe Burrow. So, and then obviously again, once he finally sort of started to get healthy, he has that like wrist injury on Thursday Night Football, and like you see him do like that clutch thing when he's trying to throw the ball, and it was like it's just kind of one thing after another. So part of me sits here, Andy, and thinks like, why are we even talking about Joe Burrow? Like, if as long as he's healthy, he will get that resume refresh I think that we are that I think he needs at this point. But you know, it's that time of the offseason when people are ranking quarterbacks and all this stuff. And Burrow seems to kind of be a little bit of a forgotten guy right now because he's coming off of this injury. There's also long-term questions about the Bengals, right? Like they need to get Ja'Marr Chase under contract. Sounds like there's really just zero momentum at all to get T. Higgins under contract this year. I really wonder how that situation plays out because like, Yeah, it's nice when you think about it, numbers on a spreadsheet wise, like, yeah, we want to keep T. Higgins, so we're going to franchise tag T. Higgins and cool. Like we get his rights for this year. Well, you know who doesn't like that? Friggin' T. Higgins. Like he's pissed. Like, all the other guys that get franchise tagged this offseason are they got long-term deals. So it's kind of tough to just say like, we're just going to keep your rights and like deal with it. But yeah, come into camp and be totally happy and really have a great season with us. So I just think the Bengals offense is very interesting to talk about right now and how that trickles into Joe Burrow as well.
Yeah, they did find something in, you know, a player I really like coming into last year. They found something in Chase Brown late last season, right? Last half dozen or so games. He was terrific. And he's exactly the kind of player that I would love to see Daniel Jones have, right? Somebody who's just a free and easy source of yardage, right? Like little, you know, so good in the screen game. So I think that helps Burrow. It also like Burrow in 4 or 5 games prior to suffering the injury, he had strung together multiple touchdowns and not all of those games were like the classic, you know, healthy Joe Burrow game script, but the numbers were more often there. And we've at least seen this guy be a 35 touchdown quarterback as a young player. He's, you know, he's been a nearly 9.0 YPA quarterback. So like, I don't have a lot of doubts about him as long as he's healthy. You are definitely right to mention the receiving core that is either in a period of transition or at least not total contentedness. That is definitely a worry right now. He wasn't on my list, but I also see the case for it too, because we haven't like the one thing that's been absent from even in the healthy seasons, even in the great seasons for Joe Burrow to this point is also, and it does, this doesn't ding you in fantasy, but it hurts in reality. It's a little bit more turnover prone than I would like my franchise quarterback to be, right? Like he's pretty consistently like in the teens, at least in the low double digits interception wise. There's always, you know, there's like 4 or 5 balls a year that just don't seem like they belong on Joe Burrow's highlight reel, that just don't seem like the throws that we would expect a quarterback of that caliber to make. So you'd like to see that cleaned up. But it, like if and when he's healthy, I'm pretty confident in him. I've drafted him a handful of times. He's also one of those guys that's really difficult to rank because you have to like, you know, when you're obviously going to rank him pretty high, he's still got great weapons. He's a great quarterback when he's right. But you've got to toss guys like, you know, Anthony Richardson in there. And like, what is, How does the math work for somebody like Richardson, who has a different path to fantasy value and also has great receivers? And we really liked what we saw from, you know, the little glimpse that we got of that offense with Richardson at the controls. So like he's in a group where, you know, it's a bunch of these dual threat guys who are super exciting. How do I rank Burrow relative to Lamar? How do I rank Burrow relative to Anthony Richardson? And then guys that were frankly a little bit more excited about coming off last year, like CJ Stroud. So it's good company to be in. But I do kind of understand why he gets left out of top fives in drafts occasionally.
I agree with you. Burrow is an interesting guy to rank from a fantasy perspective for sure. I mean, looking at early best ball drafts, guys with top 50 quarterback ADPs, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud, which is interesting. I think we're definitely gonna have to have like a CJ Stroud conversation at some point about like, it's just hard for these guys who are mostly they're going to get most of their value from a passing perspective. CJ Stroud can move, he can scramble, mm-hmm. he can improvise, but like he's never going to run like a Allen or Mahomes or not Mahomes, excuse me, Jackson or Hurts or Richardson, right? And like that's why Burrow, I think, now finds himself as like the 66th overall player in these drafts. Same with like Dak and Kyler, with Jordan Love, like. These guys, that it kind of has to all go right from a passing perspective. And I think for the most part, it probably will for Joe Burrow. But I think he's an interesting candidate to talk about on this list. Okay, Andy, I've gone through two. You've gone through two. Hit me with your next one.
This is going to be a combo platter. This is going to be two guys, one team. And one of them probably not still fantasy relevant. The other is. I want to talk a little bit about Bryce Young and Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
And again, I'm not advocating that anybody go out there and draft Bryce Young in your one quarterback leagues. That's not happening. He's still like super flex only. He just played 16 games and passed for fewer than 3,000 yards. only threw 11 touchdown passes. Not ideal. Also sacked 62 times. Lost nearly 500 yards on those sacks. Not ideal. But I do give the organization credit for addressing some things that were unaddressed last year, right? They gave nearly, I think, $90 million guaranteed to a pair of guards in the offseason. So they're beefing up the interior of the offensive line a huge way. And then they add Deontay Johnson, who, again, also a strong candidate for this list. Did some other things on offense. They add Jonathan Brooks. They add Leggett. Like they did some things that needed to be done, right? Like we needed more weapons here and we needed protection here for Bryce Young if he stood a chance. Deontay himself plays in only 13 games last year. He had his lowest yardage output since his rookie year, the fewest catches in any season of his career. The most memorable highlights, lowlights from his seasons, from his season last year were like the effort plays that he didn't make. So not great. So somebody who reputationally needs a refresh right now and is basically stepping into, you know, I don't want to oversimplify, but it, you know, it's kind of stepping into the situation that Adam Thielen had last year when it seemed like, you know, he was running on fumes. And then got out of the gates so quick because where else was Bryce Young going to go with the football? And like Johnson is somebody who when he's healthy, when things are going right for him, I don't need to tell you, he's almost instantaneously open. He's a very friendly target for a competent quarterback, right? And so this is just a huge sort of swing moment for the Panthers as a franchise, for Young specifically. I think it's an opportunity for Deontay to kind of launder his reputation wherever it sits with fantasy managers and with real life NFL fans right now. It's just a huge moment for the franchise.
I think it's really interesting when you look back at Deontay Johnson's season last year. Obviously the overall totals are lower. You know, he was banged up for a good portion mm-hmm. of last season, but you actually look at like some of the things that people typically rip on Deontay Johnson for, which is like, quote, receiver efficiency stats, 14.1 yards per reception, easily the best of his career. Just shy of 2 yards per route run, 1.97, easily the best of his career. Just 2 drops all of last season. Both came in the same game, mm-hmm. actually, easily the best of his career, 3.8% drop rate. You look at where he lined up to, actually career high percentage of snaps in the slot. Like when I charted him for reception perception, he was much more lined up off the line of scrimmage. He was used more of as a flanker because he had been the X receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But last year they have George Pickens kind of fully emerge in that role. And it made all the sense in the world because he's like the prototypical cut from stone X receiver. Like, let's move Deontay around. I think that really, like, that's the reason he was so inefficient, was he was in this kind of role that maybe sort of doesn't really suit him, but it certainly lends to inefficiencies from a target perspective, especially in Matt Canada's stupid-ass high school offense, playing with bad quarterbacks. And, like, you look at him in Carolina now, I think he probably lines up most often at X receiver just because he's probably the best candidate for that. You don't want Xavier Leggett doing that as a rookie. You don't want old man Adam Thielen doing that at this point in his career. But he will be the first read on almost every target, on almost every play, because he's, like you said, the best separator by a country mile. And this is an offense in Dave Canales that I think is going to be well designed. Yeah, I think it's going to be well executed from a route concept standpoint. That should help Deontay Johnson from an efficiency standpoint. So, yeah, we still have questions about the overall offensive ecosystem in Carolina. We still certainly have questions about Bryce Young. But talk about low bar to clear like who's the best quarterback of your career. Big Ben certainly was Big Ben at the end of his career. That's probably the best quarterback that Deontay's played with at this point. But if Bryce Young is just like a functional NFL quarterback, he's going to be a lot better than what rolled out for Pittsburgh the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. And I got to imagine he can get there, right? Unfortunately for Bryce Young, he's going to spend the rest of his career being compared to CJ Stroud. And It's like, I don't know, early returns, it's not looking good. But that's the reality for him. But if he can just be, it wouldn't take much, to take a pretty significant step statistically, because again, for somebody who actually played 16 games, he had no numbers last year. Like it's actually pretty wild.
It's
like, that's a crazy low touchdown total. Not reaching 3,000 yards in the year 2023 is wild, but obviously a lot of issues with the offense that were not entirely Bryce Young's fault. And they, again, to their credit, they address things in a pretty meaningful way in the offseason, both on the line and in the receiving core. I'm a big fan of Deontay's. I found last year mostly disappointing. I didn't like that we were having conversations about whether Deontay Johnson cared, right? Like that's never any fun. And I think this is a real chance for him to have. If not, it's probably a bit much to, because Deontay's had like 100 catch season on his resume, right? He's had 1,100 yards. I'm not saying he's necessarily going to get there, but I think we can get back close to those levels and really, really like refresh the reputation of this player as both a fantasy asset and as a real life, quality winning player.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't think best season of his career, like statistically box score wise, just because, like, it's going to be hard to meet some of those like kind of fake totals from some of the Matt Canada, like Ben Roethlisberger era. But it goes off the board of wide receiver 41 in early best ball drafts. I could see him way out kicking that, certainly, if things go well. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll get back into the last few players on our list. We're back. Next guy here is kind of in the same Deontay Johnson mold for me, a player that is just a little bit like, he certainly has had higher peaks, but a guy that just in this same area of drafts, people just don't really seem to care about Chris Godwin at this point.
This is one of my names. Yeah, I love this.
Oh,
yeah,
that's perfect. That's perfect. Okay, so we can, if you want to sub another one, you can. But if not, we can double up on Chris Godwin here, because it's really interesting. Like, Chris Godwin is fascinating because, again, like, it feels like nobody talks about Chris Godwin. Nobody cares about Chris Godwin. This is a guy that was a top five receiver at his peak. And, like, really, Andy, in my opinion, before the ACL tear a couple of years ago, was like knocking on the door to be one of the best receivers in the league. I was a huge fan of Chris Godwin's game and loved the way he was deployed in the Brady offense, but also thought there was a lot, like, he was just doing a lot from a real football perspective for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it was kind of like that just perfect number two receiver. Maybe I'm kind of off the phrase 1B receiver generally, but like he was in that group of like, is he a two or is he a 1B type of guy? But he's certainly one of the best number twos in the league. And again, kind of knocking on the door to be considered one of the best receivers in the league. He tears his ACL. He kind of has that like phony 2022 statistical season with Brady where he's getting a lot of screens. He wasn't playing his best football. And at different points last year, I thought he wasn't really necessarily playing his best football, but there were games where like once they started using him in the slot more, apparently they're going to use him more in the slot this year. He looked much better, looked much more like himself. And you just actually, like, yeah, he scored two touchdowns last year, but other than that, he caught 83 passes. He had 130 targets. You know, he went over 1,000 yards. Like, the touchdowns, obviously, low total, but overall, like, I think you could say that Chris Godwin turned in a quality season last year. And again, this is a guy that it seems like no one wants to really draft this year. No one wants to get, like, excited about Chris Godwin, but I do think there's a chance that just – If Baker Mayfield's good again this year, maybe more of that love goes to Chris Godwin than it did last year.
Yeah, this is people are running away from him, right? Like he's one of those guys where like if Chris Godwin is the next name up in the wide receiver queue, you're probably going to a different position. I don't hear anybody talking about him. It wasn't that long ago that. I mean, maybe it was a long time ago. I don't know. I'm really old. But like we people used to buzz about Chris Godwin. People used to get really excited about young Chris Godwin. And he paid off.
Right.
He actually had like a 1300 yard season. He's given us 100 catch seasons. He's been great. And I don't think he's dust either. He played through some stuff last year. A classic case where like, you know, had the touchdowns been there, they weren't. It's an issue. But had the touchdowns been there, nobody would have been complaining about him because he still clears 1,000 yards on the season again. And I thought one of the interesting things to discuss with him, because we're talking about him on the same day that, you know, he made some comments to the press about how he's, you know, he's looking forward, actively looking forward to spending more time in the slot this season. And that was just, you know, some of the under the hood numbers, that was the big change with his year last year after like during the Brady years, he's like 73% in the slot. And last year is 37%. He hasn't had that low of a slot percentage since 2018. Right. And that's just not how he's been used. He clearly at this stage of his career, since he's, you know, he's talking about how much he's looking forward to different usage in the year ahead. That feels like a positive. You know, he'd grown accustomed to the role and he was thriving in the role. So I think we get him back there. We get him back in a situation where he is perfectly comfortable. That, you know, that team was really impressive last year. They win a playoff game. They win a playoff game against the, you know, the previous year's NFC champ. They've got a lot that they can build on. And I don't think he's done. I don't think he's washed. I think we're moving him back to a role that he feels better about. And this is my only guy on my list where I'm like, yeah, 100%. I feel better about him. I don't think it's going to get worse than it was last year. Barring injury, almost everybody else on my list, I'm like, man, they could be out of the league really soon, or, you know, it could go really bad in a hurry. But I really feel like Chris Godwin has got some, you know, like he's got some run left in him, and this year is going to be better than last year.
Yeah, he's 28 years old. Like he's not, maybe he's never the same player as he was prior to that knee injury. I think that's possible, but I think he's not like totally cooked either. He's top 20 in targets and top 15 in catches last year among wide receivers. And you're right that it's one of those situations that we get it. The touchdowns were not there, but if he goes over 80 catches, just over 1,000 yards, he has 7 touchdowns. He's the wide receiver 20 last year, which is what Devontae Smith was with that type of season. 81 catches, 1,000 yards, 1,066, and 7 touchdowns. So, he only scores 2. And, like, there's every chance in the world that he just catches, like, 5 to 6 touchdowns this year, and he's a much bigger value because he's going off the board much later than where he finished last season. I think there's every reason in the world to believe he has a better season this year than he did last year. Okay. Do you want to count that as one of yours, or do you want to throw a different one in here?
I can throw a different one. How many do I have left? Oh my gosh. I think I have one left on my big list, but I can, I got plenty of names. I have an abundance of names here, so I can throw anybody in here. I do want to talk about, and this is where I felt like I was getting a little bit quarterback heavy, and I have multiple quarterbacks in my head that I could choose from here, but I'm going to go with another combo platter. I'm just going to say both Steelers quarterbacks. I don't like, they're going to spin the wheel. I don't know where it's going to land. Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, two guys at different points in their careers, obviously, for different reasons. Both of them in desperate need for a positive refresh. They're both coming off like two of the weirdest seasons that anybody had in 2023. We talked about Russell Wilson at various points during the year. Some of the surface level numbers obviously look just fine. The touchdown to interception ratio looked just fine, but everything else, like just watching Broncos games, watching that particular passing offense was weird. Almost everything he threw at or behind the line of scrimmage, and then occasional deep shots, right? Like you look at the passing charts on Next Gen, and it's not what we see throughout the league, right? It's not normal NFL offense. And it felt very much like, oh man, we're doing everything we can to, maybe that's what Sean Payton wants to be, or maybe that's just Sean Payton protecting his team from what he thinks Russell Wilson is at that point. I'm not sure. So huge swing year for him, because he's a guy obviously who was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and then it all went sideways in Denver. Fields, of course, I don't know, is there a player that we discussed more last year than Justin Fields? So it probably doesn't need to get reiterated. But like he had a year that was, it was very similar to his 2022 in all the bad ways, right? And he didn't have the spectacular rushing plays that made up for it. But he was still, you know, still last in the league in time to throw, still took too many sacks. Maybe had a few more throwaways, which was good, but you know, still got dropped too often, and you know, too much time in the pocket, too much indecision from him. Really ugly season. That of course, you know, had a couple of nice moments with DJ Moore, but no surprise that he's out in Chicago, and yet he's still a guy where you can just see the. You can see the traits. You can see like some of the exciting traits that we're drawn to in fantasy. So like maybe this is one of those situations where like people inside the league are just not that into him simply, and people in fantasy keep coming back for pretty obvious reasons, because he is a huge rushing talent, and he does have plenty of arm, right? And if it can't get right in like this, Mike Tomlin bubble, I don't know that it's ever going to get right for either player ever again, right? Because if there's one thing that Tomlin just manages to do, even when they have to limp into the playoffs, they get into the playoffs and they have a winning season. And, you feel like they're building on something by the end. It's not my favorite receiving room in the league. I feel like, you know, in some ways I feel like George Pickens is like the opposite of the conversation we're having today, where somebody needs a reputational refresh, right? Like I feel like George Pickens is a guy where the reputation is maybe out a little bit ahead of the player. So I don't, you know, I like him. I don't love him. I don't think he's a perfect player. Freiermuth is fine. I think Roman Wilson is fine. We'll see where the receiving core goes, but it's not obviously star studded. I don't know how it fits with either of these quarterbacks, but man, they both need a refresh.
They both need a refresh, and I have like no conviction about how this goes. My one level of conviction was just that like I was rolling my eyes at all the people that were saying like, oh yep, Russell Wilson, he's gonna start. He's for sure starting week one. He's starting all the games. Like, if they actually thought that he was that type of quarterback, they don't trade for Justin Fields. Period.
Yeah.
End of story. They don't do that. So makes no sense to sort of kind of have that attitude about it. And then they go out and they trade for Justin Fields. So they could tell you whatever they want about Russell Wilson. They clearly don't believe that he is that type of quarterback at this point. Nobody should. With Justin Fields, I could easily see him just being like, yeah, just a classic mobile quarterback that fantasy managers chase. But yeah, the league's not that into him for all the reasons that you laid out. I don't know. What's your best guess as to how this scenario like plays out with these two quarterbacks?
It's hard to imagine either, like whoever the opening week starter is, it's hard to imagine that guy playing at a consistent winning level throughout the season and not losing the job at some point. So I feel almost like you want to bet on the guy who doesn't win the position battle to start the year. Cause I wouldn't bank on either guy. I don't know. I'm pretty pessimistic about both of these players at this point, except I'm just gonna root hard for Justin Fields until he's out of the league. I don't know. I find him super likable. He gave me some really exciting moments as a Bears fan. So I don't want to see him fail. I can imagine him, you know, certainly the player here that I feel better about, given the stage that they're at in their career. And I think the level of current athleticism is definitely Fields. Do I think time to throw is always going to be a problem? Yeah, I think it's probably always going to be a problem. I think Justin Fields paired with George Pickens could really give us some fantastic moments. I feel pretty good about that. And I do think he's a guy that, you know, they're taking a relatively cheap and free look at Justin Fields. And I feel like if there's any team environment in which, he could really be picked up and salvaged, it's probably this one.
Yeah. My best guess for how this goes is I'm with you. There's almost a 0% chance that whoever starts week one doesn't get benched at some point, which, by the way, typically means you don't have a very good offense. Like how many times are like, yeah, this is probably going to be a situation where both guys play. And for sure, it ends up being a good offensive environment. Maybe it could be just good enough for the Steelers to fall ass backwards into the playoffs, but they always fall ass backwards into the playoffs. So like, what are we really doing here? My best guess is Russell Wilson starts the season because, you know, just veteran deference. Really the first 4 weeks of the season from a defensive perspective is not that intimidating. It's Atlanta. It's his old team, Denver. It's the Chargers. It's the Colts. Week five, if he's not benched by week five against the Cowboys, he's getting benched week five against the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. And then Justin Fields starts from there. I think it's going to be like kind of a up and down season for Justin Fields. Maybe even Russ gets back into the mix at some point. So that's my best guess is like, both these guys end up playing. It feels like both guys end up playing. And again, tell me the last time where we were saying that about a team going into the season and like they ended up having a good offense. I just don't think that normally works out.
It's a fair point.
All right. I'll throw another one out here. Speaking of Broncos, like we can be quick on this one because like who cares? But Javonte Williams, like that guy needs a fantasy resume refresh, doesn't he? I mean, Andy, this is a guy like, people were super excited about Javonte Williams at some point. Then he has that like devastating knee injury. And now like, again, very similar to Chris Godwin. Nobody wants to touch Javonte Williams. Nobody wants to click his name. Nobody really wants to get excited about him. And maybe again, he's just a guy that unfortunately had an injury, never gets back to it. But he just seems like among running backs right now, persona non grata in early drafts, and I can't imagine that there's going to be a ton of steam for him, which feels really unfortunate because, like I said, to start his career, he looked like an awesome player. There are even moments during the Russell Wilson offense, I was like, well, the best thing they do is like check the ball down to Javonte Williams, and then he has that knee injury. Sean Payton takes over. Sean Payton can't shut up about like a committee backfield. So he definitely feels like a guy that I don't believe is going to get that resume refresh, but my God, could he use it?
Yeah, man, people loved Javonte, and a super exciting player when he came into the league. Obviously, he came in as like the missed tackle king. It was the stat that everybody quoted, both out of his collegiate production and his first season in the league was super promising. Like, I don't know, search for the free Javonte hashtag, right? It was everywhere.
Oh, it was there.
Yeah, people wanted him, and it was the last great season, good season of Melvin Gordon's career. Like Melvin was perfectly fine. And we were like, man, push him to the side. We need 400 touches for Javonte Williams. Because people were convinced that he could be like, a, I don't know, 2,200, 2,400 scrimmage yard player. Like really exciting when he came into the league. It is entirely possible that a year further from the knee injury, another year of recovery, very common story that you talk to athletes about, like when they actually start feeling like themselves after a major knee injury. It is typically not 9 months. It is not 10 months. It is often 2 years. So wouldn't be shocked to see him a little bit more lively this year. It's still a pretty wide open backfield. I don't see somebody who should obviously take those touches. So I think he's going to get opportunities. It's not, you know, there's also a lot of headwinds there. There's a rookie quarterback. There's a super uninteresting receiving core. I'm not very excited about the offense generally. So he could be really exciting and wildly productive and still, you know, give us five touchdowns and it won't feel like a very impactful fantasy year. But man, talk about somebody who came into, you know, his rookie season with so much steam and actually, like, I don't know, everything that everybody, all the hype, every positive thing that anybody said about him as a prospect, like, you could see in glimpses. So I understand why the free Javonte hashtag was a thing. I understand why there was that level of excitement for him. It's weird to see a player, you know, this happens all the time with like the Memphis running backs. They all go through this. We're always super excited about them when they're rookies. And then by the time they're in their fourth year, we're like, you know, we're so over them. And I hate to see Javonte become that kind of guy, because he really was, as a rookie, as a second year player pre-injury, super exciting.
All right, Andy, we've each hit five because of some of the crossovers here. Anyone else you want to throw out here?
The rest of my list, just a bunch of scrawled names here. We could have talked about Kyle Pitts. We could have talked about Tony Pollard. We could have talked about Damian Pierce, although, frankly, I don't really see the path for Damian Pierce.
Unless he gets traded.
Unless he gets traded. Like, that's the interesting conversation, but then that's a pure hypothetical. And so we can steer clear of it. I think Trevor Lawrence fits this conversation, right? Because
Let's talk about Trevor Lawrence, because he was also on my list too. So let's just quickly have the Trevor Lawrence conversation. I know, Andy, by the time we got done with the panic meter segment last year, we were so sick of talking about the Jaguars offense.
Yes.
I think we definitely put them in the coping corner, right? It feels like we probably did at some point. My God, that might as well be a different lifetime ago, talking about the damn coping corner. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence, like, what how bullish are you about Lawrence in terms of like making that leap? Because again, like, quarterback ranking wise, like, people still that, you know, like Derek Klassen, who does, you know, charting work for us at Reception Perception on quarterbacks, like, he still is very bullish on Trevor Lawrence as a real life quarterback. Obviously, from a fantasy perspective, last year it was really like a stone cold disaster, because he was the type of guy that you just kind of like kept rolling out. You really could never stream somebody over him. So he kind of was the worst fantasy quarterback to have last year to draft. What's the Trevor Lawrence outlook like this season?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it from my fantasy ranks, right? Because I'm not particularly bullish on him. I've got him in the higher teens, I think, like maybe QB 17, 18, something like that. And part of the reason for that is I've kind of resigned myself to the fact that the Jaguars are not going to let him run. He was a great running quarterback at the college level. And like, in my mind, he is somebody who could definitely have the rushing season that Daniel Jones had a couple years ago. Like, that's very much in play for Trevor Lawrence. He was really good at it. Some of his best collegiate highlights are like, you know, long touchdown runs. Like, he has a gift for it. When he's forced into it, he's still really good at it. But I just don't think it's going to be a major component of his game. I don't think the Jaguars want him doing it, so fine. So I can't consider him a member of the dual threat club. So that lowers him a little bit. People have really trashed him, including people who came in, you know, a couple of years ago would have told you that they still believed he was a generational quarterback. But like, they're just 1 year removed from, like, they won a playoff game. They were an ascending team that won a playoff game. And I can't, the thing that I can't get out of my mind with Trevor Lawrence, is all the near misses last year, right? Like, all the 1 foot inbound touchdowns, all the, you know, the college touchdowns. I don't even think that they ended up having a particularly notable year in terms of like total number of drops, but some of the situational drops, like when they happened and what the result of the play would have been had it been caught, were just felt monumental. And so it felt like there were repeated, like, just big, huge swings in his season where it all could have looked a lot different on paper. It all could have looked a lot different statistically. In the end, disappointing year, you know, low totals across the board. It wasn't a bad year in terms of like overall passing yardage, but certainly not the year that anybody was drafting, certainly not the year that anyone was expecting. I think they did some nice things in the receiving core. I still think he's got a huge arm and he can make some throws that are not available to every quarterback. So I'm pretty bullish on him long term, probably more in real life than I am in fantasy, though.
I think I feel the same way just in terms of the more bullish on him in real life than fantasy. But the thing with that is that, like, these guys, like you said, who aren't going to be major dual threat quarterbacks, like once we get past the main guys like Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy is in this group. You know, Jared Goff is certainly in this group. Like Jordan Love is in this group. Trevor Lawrence could have a season like those guys. There's no doubt in my mind. Like if Brian Thomas clicks and he's ready to rock, like, and then just again, is that season QB 7? Is that season QB 15? Like it can range kind of wildly there. But overall, like I still think Trevor Lawrence is a quality quarterback. Like he's not bad. I think we're still just in a discovery of how good he is. Some of that is going to come down to the players around him. It's really hard to obviously isolate quarterback play. And certainly from a fantasy perspective, it's going to matter obviously from the end of season numbers. Like, yeah, those near misses with Calvin Ridley, it was like he didn't have a disgusting drop season. He just had a disgusting timing of drop season way it looked type of thing. So, yeah, perception could definitely have gone too far in terms of the Trevor Lawrence hate. I'm absolutely in on that. So, yeah, he was on my kind of like cleanup list. I also would throw out like Jonathan Taylor, although I'm pretty convinced if he's healthy, he'll bounce back. Cooper Kupp, same thing. I kind of considered him, but if he's healthy, he'll bounce back. The only one I would throw out there, too, is Christian Watson.
I meant to say him. I also had him on the list, but I felt like we could get mired in a health conversation that neither one of us is really qualified to have, because that's 70% of it, right?
Yes, it's also like we could get mired in a Green Bay receiver conversation, because I think that's a very fascinating conversation to have, and like I'm almost kind of willing to believe anything with the Packers receivers. But I mean, yeah, to me though, the questions for Christian Watson go beyond like, can he stay healthy? It's also like, we need to see some more development from him, which we haven't gotten to see to this point because he hasn't been able to consistently be on the field. So, you know, and I'm a big Wicks and Reed guy there in that receiver room. So he's definitely somebody that needs that resume refresh, and I'm not sure if he's going to get it, but, anyone else, Andy, to throw up before we get out of here?
No, I, you know, a little part of me wants to extend the Green Bay receiving room conversation though, because like Wicks just strikes me as one of those guys. And I was just watching a little bit of Wicks not that long ago. Like if you told me he was going to have 1,000 yards this year, I'd be like, yeah, that's, I don't know. I'd give it some percentage chance. That guy's awesome.
Oh, he's so good. Just put him, his profile up on Reception Perception, just posted the episode, I think today, with James Coe talking about him. So yeah, I'm very, very in on Dontavian Wicks. We're going to have a lot of conversations this summer about how to parse out that receiving room, because it is very difficult to parse out. But my one thing I'm convicted about is that like, yeah, anybody, Dontavian Wicks is very, very good. And anybody who actually spends time, like you just said, watching him play will get it, because he is a very quality NFL receiver. Well, Andy, this has been a very quality NFL fantasy podcast. I'll tell you that, buddy. So I appreciate you doing it. We got through a ton of names for a May podcast, a lot of content here.
Yeah, this is a fun concept. And I like people who haven't actually had to do it for a living, like coming up with good concepts for like mid-May fantasy football shows is graduate level in the fantasy space. So like hats off to you. Like this is a great idea.
Yeah. And it's all because we do actually have a series we're going to kick off on the podcast soon. And I was like, oh, right. I didn't actually prepare for that for the week I was back from vacation. So let's come up with something on the fly. Andy will be into this. That's going to be great. We have another one of those very shows hitting the podcast feed later this week as well. So that's going to do it for us today. We are going to be back with That Said Show, the Fly by the Seat of Our Pants show. Tara Roberts is going to join me for that one. Until then, we're out.